You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier I spoke with Malakai Kulomatangi of Massey University, who last week organised the symposium for National Dialogue on Democracy in Tonga. I started off by asking him, what is the current political situation in Tonga and why do we need to have this symposium?
Well, Tonga's been going through a democratisation process since 2010 formally, but before then there had been this demand or call for more democracy to be institutionalised. And so we've had two elections so far under those conditions. So 2010, that was the first election under the new regime. And 2014 was the next one. And there was supposed to be another one in 2018, but the King dissolved Parliament in August and moved the elections 1 year forward. And so we're having the third election under this current regime on the 16th of November. And so there's been, obviously, people have been polarized by the dissolution of Parliament and what they see as a kind of a new direction that that the country is taking, you know, in terms of this pathway to democracy. So we held the National Dialogue on Democracy under those conditions, and we thought it was a good idea just to put the issues on the table and get people from all sectors of society to come together to just to dialogue and to talk about what was important for them.
What are some of these dividing issues? What were the reasons that led to the King dissolving Parliament and have created a situation where we need to have a dialogue to sort some of these things out?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a formally there. So the King was advised by the Speaker of Parliament with reasons such as the current government's incompetency. There had been some court cases that the government was involved in. There were some leadership issues with the Prime Minister not sacking ministers who were wayward and had been found by the court to have acted illegally and unlawfully. There was some sort of incompetency and ineffectiveness around the South Pacific Games, which was supposed to be held in Tonga, but that, of course, turned out that Tonga didn't have the money, or there was mismanagement, or there was a lack of effectiveness upon the government. So the games are now held, will be held by Samoa. So a whole host of things that the Speaker of Parliament thought amounted to the fact that the government was not competent enough to govern. So he advised the King to dissolve Parliament, and the King accepted his advice. And so that's all these issues that the Speaker put to the King have not been resolved properly. So these are the issues that we put on the table at the dialogue. And it was talked about in an open, open forum where people expressed their views.
Do you think that the symposium was a success in that sense? Did you manage to get some compromise of views and potentially find some of the answers for these issues that led to the dissolution of Parliament in the first place?
From what I've heard from people and all the feedback that I've got, that the symposium was very successful and it exceeded our expectations. We didn't think that there would be this level of success. For example, there's now some consensus around what a Tongan democracy should look like. And that democracy, it was very clear from the symposium that democracy has to be organically grown in Tonga. We may borrow from others, from other countries, such as Australia, but it has to be layered on top of a Tongan base, which is Tongan culture. So that's I'm heartened by that, because there's been this misunderstanding or there's been this confusion around what a Tongan democracy ought to look like. Of course, there are still questions. For example, what does Tongan culture mean? I mean, what is that? And how are we to combine Tongan culture and these bits of democracy or the democratic elements from other countries? So there's a lot of work to be done. There's also this desire that the symposium has to be offered every year. I had proposed that it should be offered every three to 4 years. It was very, very clear for the participants that they wanted this to be done every year, and it ought to be so we get on and discuss different topics from year to year.
So what we potentially might see going into the future is a democratic model that is based on Tongan values and traditions as well as shared components of traditional democracy?
That's what it is. I mean, and that's actually not a new thing. You know, if you look at democratizing countries around the world, the newly democratizing countries, and that's always been the case. And where the democratization process has failed is because all these countries try to adopt the forms of democracy from the outside wholeheartedly without including or combining them with organic elements. So that's exactly what people have said at the symposium, and we will obviously go to the next step, which is to try and see what the elements that this total democracy ought to contain.
So moving forward, what are going to be the biggest issues that hold back Tonga from reaching that democratic system, and what's going to stop Tonga from moving out of this transition period? I mean, are we going to see a repeat of the abandonment of parliament through the next election cycle, or are these competency issues going to be locked out through this discussion process?
You know, I mean, I think the dissolution of parliament, while it was unfortunate, I think it's part of the learning curve, because it was the first time that had ever happened. And, you know, it's unfortunate, as I said, but I think it's part of the learning curve towards more democracy talk, that you get these bumps on the road, as it were. And we learn from that, obviously. If it's going to happen again in the future, we will know why it happened, and you know, we will try and prevent it, obviously. So going forward, I think, you know, this combination of Tongan and foreign elements to make up a total democracy is a big step forward. And, you know, the issues, there are sort of day-to-day issues, for example, that all governments, you know, face. It's a matter of managing them, and it's a matter of having the right people in parliament from which to choose the government. And if you have good parliamentarians, quality ones, of course you'll get a good quality government. What we have in Tonga is, again, it's part of the learning curve, I think, is trying to attract the right people to run for parliament, and then, of course, to make up the government after the election. And if you had that, then I think we will be able to minimize, you know, the problems. And, you know, for example, one of the things that's been talked about is the economy, and why the economy is not growing to the extent where we rely on foreign transfers for more than half the budget. You know, what we heard at the symposium was that Tonga has the resources. It's got the manpower. It's got the expertise. Tonga has the most number of PhDs per capita in the whole world. And so you have a ready workforce and you have the resources. So the panelists said it's a matter of getting people to work together and working smartly around creating more exports rather than attracting more, you know, imports. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's a tweaking of the system. And, you know, what we have already, I think, is going in the right direction. It's a matter of learning from the mistakes of the past to go forward.
So finally, I thought I'd ask you, what is New Zealand's role in all of this? How can we be a responsible neighbour, a regional partner, and assist in the democratic formation in Tonga? What can New Zealand do to help through these issues?
Look, I think New Zealand has done, the government has done a lot already. Unfortunately, the Zealand government didn't support the symposium. They did not support it financially, which is unfortunate. I understand why, but, you know, I thought this was a good time for New Zealand to step up to the mark and, you know, and face the issues, and even though they were difficult. But I know they were sensitive times, so I understand why the government didn't want to support. But, you know, going forward from here, I hope the Zealand government, you know, can provide and continue to provide the space and enable Tonga to find its own, you know, solutions, to find its own democracy. You know, the one thing is to support the symposium, for example, to support it financially. You know, another is to ensure that the mechanisms around creating more democracy are well supported and well financed. You know, and provide the expertise. You know, one of the problems we have in the Pacific is that a lot of the times, and New Zealand included, you know, they dictate the agenda for these programs, for the initiatives, rather than providing the financial support and ensuring that there's the effective space for Tongans, you know, to come together. Because Tongans have the expertise. We're not talking about a third world country here where, you know, education is a problem, or the literacy rate. For example, Tonga has 99.9% literacy level. So, literacy rate. So we're not talking about, you know, uneducated population. We're talking about highly educated population here that needs some support around, you know, navigating their way towards the future. It's not going to be a democracy that will mirror the democracy that you have in New Zealand. It will have bits and pieces of it, but it will be a Tonga democracy that will be able to grow in Tonga in an effective way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.